if he comes off the couch, I want one of those couches. I want one of those couches. Can look good. But before that, I would say he is at a disadvantage because the levels of where the HRC team, Honda, Kawasaki, and all these other teams compared to where his team is, there is a difference. Looking at Hunter, he looks better than Jet. He actually looks better than Jet ever did on a 250. Can he allow Jet to see him run a 221 on that? And Jet feels like, I can do 219s all day long. And then he goes to 216. And at that point, you can't make that difference up. Kenny can't drop down and go that much faster, even though he tried. What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we're at. We're at the Rewind Show, baby. Round 4 from High Point, round 21 of the World Series. But round 4 from the motocross, where we had the German chocolate show up this weekend. Unexpected. Was he going to sprinkle a little chocolate on there?
Chocolate? Did you say chocolate?
Yes, sir.
We had Mr. hanging with Mr. Cooper last weekend. Boy was dominant at second moto, but he ended up having an injury. Or were we going to have the continuance of the Lawrence Boy show, where they're going to do what they did the last three races, which is just dominate? Would Danger Boy rebound, or would Jet just run away? Well, we got to find out. So round 4 from High Point, you know what to do. Let's get into it.
It's time for the High Point National.
This weekend coming into High Point, I felt like after what we just saw with Justin Cooper riding that second moto, how Danger Boy's been riding all year, having an off race, and an off race for him, it's like, you know, outside the top 5. I knew coming in that those two were going to show up. They're both teammates. They're somewhat battling each other, but they're also the biggest threat to Hunter Lawrence. Hunter Lawrence is clearly the best. I think this weekend, the way he rode, even last weekend, but more this weekend, he looked legit. Can't find anything wrong with him. So it's going to be up to the Yamaha boys to kind of stop that. Joe Shimoda has speed. There's other guys that got speed. But those two, Mr. Cooper and Danger Boy, those are the biggest threats to Hunter Lawrence. And then, bam, Justin Cooper got hit in the throat. I mean, at first, I was like, all right, he got up. And then he laid down, then he got back up. And then so I'm like, okay, just a little rock of the bells. I know I've crashed a couple of times on those stairs. They hurt. Luckily, they threw a little sawdust, and the way the track was, it just easily can happen. But then when I saw the video, I was like, damn. I'm like surprised that dude even got up. No man likes to get hit in the throat. He said his throat started swelling up. So, of course, when things start closing down, you can't breathe. It wasn't going to end well. So with him being out, it was on Danger Boy. And then a guy like RJ to just come up and do what RJ does. But overall, Hunter Lawrence did what he did. You know, he was good in the first moto, ended up third, came up like through the pack like he always did. And in the second moto, he had to run down his teammate, and he was able to do that. So his consistency has been exactly the same, somewhat like his brother, just getting through the first moto, making sure you're wherever you are to make sure you can podium and win the overall, and then just win the second moto. Danger Boy, I thought Hayden rode well. I really did. I thought the rebound that he made from last weekend, he said he made some changes on his motorcycle. His bike looked pretty good, but you could just tell that kid's starting to really believe in what he's doing. And he's starting to, it's cool to watch like rookies make transitions to where they really feel like they belong. And you could just see it in just their riding style. You could saw it from Ricky Carmichael when he first came in, you know, his rookie year. Give it to him like Southwick, round 3, 4, 5, if he's winning. Just see how he started the season, how he looked on a motorcycle to the middle part, to the end. Even myself came in at Glen Helen, just, and then by the end of the season, I'm like messing around with my boy Fonseca and Matt Walker. I'm like, I'm going to win. I'm just kind of bored out here. I'm going to do that. And it's just a transition of just confidence and just being able to do it again. Chest protector comes off. You know, back in the day, that was it. Like when the dude's chest protector came off, oh, he pro. So I'm watching that transition with Hayden, and the way he rode that second moto was phenomenal. Kid was legit. Kid was fast, even though he didn't get up there. I think he went down or something in the first corner or somewhere. He was in the back of the pack, but marched his way up. And I like that out of Hayden more than anything else. I said a couple weeks ago, the second moto at Hangtown was impressive to me. All these things got hit after he just won the first moto. It's easy for a rookie to just, you know, start falling in, man, this sucks, you know, and start thinking of the negatives. That kid pulled it together after he was struggling. And even last weekend, all the things that was happening to him, you know, the cross jumping, whatever, he just bounced back this weekend as a veteran like Hunter Lawrence would do, put that behind us and show up and race. And I thought he rode really well out of everyone. But of course, when you got a guy like Hunter Lawrence and you got a guy that's, I believe, looking at Hunter, he looks better than Jet. He actually looks better than Jet ever did on the 250. And before y'all even say something, shout out. Let me finish. I just see Hunter, and every time I saw Jet, we're watching a star. We're watching something just bam in your face. The kid does it really easy, and I'm not going to get into it because I'm going to get into it later with him. But when I watch Hunter, I always felt like Hunter almost had the better riding style in between both of those, because the way he sets up, he's able to ride a motorcycle like Jet standing up, but he also rides it to where he can get like rugged, you know, like there's an edge to him. And, you know, I said this last year at Southwick, you know, you can ask your boy Styles Robinson. I saw this last year when he was battling Styles Robinson, that boy had a little edge to him. And so when I put his riding style the way he is, and then watching him come up through the pack, because he's done that more than Jet has this year, so he's almost seasoned in that sense of, you can really tell about riders when things are going wrong and how they react and how they continue to go through. And his brother did a phenomenal job. Jet just did this weekend, but Hunter's been doing that all year. And now when I watch him come up through the pack, it's like he already knows where he's going. He's going to get there. So when he makes passes on people, it's a different kind of authority, rather than like, it's not like he's going in and just knocking people out the way, but you could tell when he comes up, they know he's going to pass him. He knows he's going to pass him. And it's just like that unstoppable force that's just happening. There's no hesitation. His riding style is great. And when he gets on 450, if nobody else is able to challenge his brother, he will. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be in for years to come, the Lawrence brother shows. And you know, if I'm Jet, I'm watching a little older brother and I'm saying, damn, this kid looks pretty good. So Hunter Lawrence, keep it up. He's gotten better since the first race. And I said last weekend, I mean, shoot, there's almost a more dominance in what he's doing than even Jet, even though Jet has won every race. And up until this weekend, he led every lap. To this weekend, to German Chocolate start showing up and Willy Wonka and that ass out there. It was always him. So overall, Hayden Deegan is riding good. Hopefully hanging with Mr. Cooper. The throat settled. Like, he's like that bee. He gets swole up. Give it a couple days. It unswells and he's good. I hear he's back home now. He's got a week off. So hopefully he's back at Red Bud. Well, your boy will be back on the call. And, you know, he can just continue that performance that he did last weekend. But right now, ain't nobody messing with Hunter Lawrence. The kid's legit. The kid's feeling it, and it's really up to Hayden Deegan. And then when RJ gets in RJ mode, RJ does what RJ does, he'll be there as well. But right now, ain't nobody stopping that kid. Isn't it ironic when you watch RJ? And it's weird to have a guy that you like, he wins the first moto, you're like, okay, not surprised. But then when you watch the second moto, you're like, I'm not surprised. Like, he can go 1-11, 1-10. Whatever you finish, you'd be like, yeah, not surprised. Well, that's RJ. And the reason why that happens, because damn, the kid's good. The kid's got talent. All these kids got talent, but RJ is really good. And what helps RJ is also what hurts him. RJ is it's a hard charging dude. He never gives up. He just fights to the end. And sometimes, like, when you're like that, there's all or nothing. Like, you're all or nothing. And I know RJ doesn't go out and he tries to crash or he's overriding or riding over his head. That's not what I'm saying. RJ makes mistakes, but it's not like he's, when you watch him, you're just like, I'm waiting for it. Like sometimes we got a chase in Supercross. You were like, man, it just looked like he just almost there. When I watch RJ, I don't feel that way. But when I watch RJ and how he rides, I'm not surprised that the dude hits the ground, or he just goes out and wins, or he hits the ground and still comes back and wins, because that's what RJ does. And he's just a hard charging dude. And it's hard to even put it on when I'm like, the guy doesn't look like he's going to fall all the time, but the guy falls all the time. And the way he rides, I'm not scared when I watch him, but damn, I'm like waiting for it to happen, but I'm not expecting. I don't know. That's RJ. And he did it again this weekend. First motive, dominant, pulled away. That was an RJ type of track. Had to be comfortable being uncomfortable. That's RJ all day. So he's up there. Hayden did a good job at hanging in on him. You know, you can also say that Hayden put the pressure on RJ to make RJ fall. I don't think so. I think RJ was going to fall anyway, just because that's what RJ does. He just falls and gets up and just comes back. Wouldn't even worry when he fell. Like, I even flipped the TV off. I'm like, damn, RJ is still win. Don't even matter how many minutes. Oh, yeah, like 10 minutes. RJ, yeah, I know he fell. He going to win. And he did anyway. Hayden was just there. Hayden was able to capitalize when RJ did make the mistake, but RJ was still coming, got his job done. So then the second moto, it's just like everything that can happen. And I guess this is my point with him. It just seems like with him, he's going to get caught in every possibility, negative possibility. If there's a first corner and pile up in that second moto after RJ wins, you can guarantee RJ is going to be in there. Not his fault, nothing. Somebody's going to fall in front of him. RJ is going to have to be there. So I don't know if he needs to do a little voodoo magic, because I don't think it's his riding, how he rides, that gets him caught up in those situations. But whatever it is, whether it's how he rides and voodoo magic, he just gets caught up in that. But RJ did what RJ did, and he was able to come back, get on the podium. RJ looked good, and RJ might do that again next weekend and the weekend after that, weekend after that. Unfortunately for RJ, you got a guy who doesn't really do that, that just ends up on a podium, and he's got a couple guys, I would say even Deegan's like that as well, that he's not going to have those transitions. He might not win the race, but he ain't going to be outside top 10, where RJ could win the race, and after some circumstances and falling three times, RJ might get like 11th. So if RJ only falls once, RJ going to be in the top 10 at the end of the motor, no matter which race it is. But RJ usually makes one mistake and ends up making another one. And just unfortunate for him, he's got guys that's just a little bit more consistent. So he's just going to be in that like third to like fourth guy at the end of the championship, because those other guys ain't going to continue doing that. So RJ is riding better than he's ever had. The Husqvarnas look really good. You could tell in that 250 class, you could tell all the bikes that got power, and those Husqvarnas are starting to compete with them Yamahas. I'm telling you right now, this start was deep. Last weekend, it was at altitude. Usually Yamahas like 1 through 18, but you start seeing them white bikes up in there, and this weekend was another case of that. It was a lot of horsepower that needed to be needed. In the beginning part of that race, especially that first moto. And every time you got Jalik Swole, you got RJ up there. And so I think the situation's going well for him. It's just unfortunately that it hasn't changed enough. And you got those other guys in there that are more consistent. So Joe Shimoda, another guy, I can't figure it out with a Far East Coast, he be rolling, but he's got something in that beginning part of the race that just doesn't work in that beginning part of the race. I don't know what it is. If Joe can ride like he did, like that end of that first moto last weekend and this weekend, Joe Shimoda would be a dominant force to be reckoned with. He was the only person that could stop Mr. Cooper in the second moto last weekend. But for whatever reason, Joe is right next to Hunter this week. And the next thing you know, Joe is like 15 seconds. Joe's still in that same spot. I think I got a reason for that. I think the guys that race usually in the first motos and even the beginning of the second motos for the 250 class, everybody's all that young testosterone. These kids, they young, they don't know no better. They're young and they're restless, right? So Joe has a hard time passing. Hunter Lawrence, I said what people think of him and his riding styles allows Hunter Lawrence to eventually get by him. They got to know either move or be hit. Where I think Joe is getting better at that. And Joe is just as fast, I would say even just as fast on a good day as anyone on that racetrack. But in the beginning part of the races, Joe does not move forward, where Hunter Lawrence can start next to Joe, behind Joe, he'll go past Joe and rest of everybody else. And it would take Joe to the end of the motos where dudes start to wear out, where they can't dive bomb back to the inside, cut his ass off. Or in the second moto, he can come up because the guys are just getting tired. Joe just gets stuck there. So Joe has to figure that part out. And I know it's partly because just he's, I wouldn't say nice, because I mean, whatever, he is a nice kid, but I think it's just his sense of his passing and it being aggressive, not aggressive, whatever that is causing Joe in the beginning part of the motos, especially those first motos when everybody's hyped up, feeling like they got a chance, so they get slapped back by Hayden and Hunter. They fight him. And so Hunter Lawrence gets through him. Hayden gets through him. Joe just stays there until the end of the race. And then Joe comes up. And then you watch the end of the motor. You're like, damn, dude, where did he come from? And then you're like, okay, it's ready for Joe. Ain't no more average Joe no more. And then the second motor happens. The same thing happens. And you're just like, damn, what is it? Because it ain't his riding. I think it's because of everybody else and what they think of him and his passing is causing him. So until Joe starts taking everybody out, he's going to have a problem. And it's on full display because Joe is riding way better than his results say. But his results say he ain't nothing but an average Joe. This weekend, we had a couple extra guys. I know Chance Hymus has been riding really well all year. But up until this weekend, it's been dictated off starts. I think he's one moto gets 17th. Next moto, he's like battling for third. Like he's in that group of guys that are really at the same speed. So it's really dictated off the start. But this weekend, Chance looked really well. But this weekend, Chance rode really, really well. I always had a hard time saying it. Really well. Yeah, that's the blackness. Screet, screet. Jets got a screet. Yeah. All right. But this weekend, Chance rode well. I think this track set up for him. He's a real technical rider, kind of like both his teammates. Actually, all three of his teammates with Chase. Hunter and Jet, they all kind of ride the same, and you can start to see it as the week goes. If you watch Chance, he's starting to look like a younger version of Hunter now. Like he's starting to ride that same way. His flow is going up that same way. And for Hunter, knowing that not only he has his brother to practice with, and this is what makes him dangerous. Not only has his brother to practice with, because he knows where the top of the totem pole is. I guarantee during the week, they probably a lot closer than people probably think they are. He gets to ride with that. And then he gets to ride with a guy like Chance that is that younger generation that is like, look, although Chance doesn't ride like a normal rookie, usually rookies be eating it and just going for it. Hayden Deegan for a while looked like that normal rookie that had that just speed, but it looked a little sketchy. When you watch Chance, he don't ride like that. He just, when circumstances are right, that boy be rolling and he don't look like a rookie. So Hunter has that to ride with. So he has a guy that's trying to get to him and then a guy that he's trying to get at, which makes it dangerous for everybody else because he's going to a race and he's got guys trying to knock him off, but he also knows where that real goal is. And that real goal is obviously to be where his brother is, which he'll be there soon enough, but to win this outdoor championship. So his weekday practice is like a weekday race to him. Like, that is hard to beat when everything that you do is somewhat simulated to the races and you already know how fast everybody's going to be. Because in those motos, in that second moto, Chance Hymus was one of the fastest guys, if not the fastest guy on the racetrack. That's the guy you practice with during the week. So you know you got him covered, but you know his speed well. And then you also know where Jet is. So Hunter has that going for him. Chance is having that going for him as well. And so my point is you starting to see him be like that. And I think next year, if Chance gets through this season, it's going to be Hayden and Chance. It's not going to be Hayden and someone else. Chance Hymus is going to be the next guy that comes in there and comes up there and gives Hayden a run. And I think Hayden's going to start seeing just another red Honda version of Hunter Lawrence. You know, you'd be like, all right, this kid's out of this class. Now it's open. Well, I think Chance is going to be that guy that steps in because he already rides like he's been there before. He looked like that at Houston. Kid looked good the first race he ever went. And you guys know. I mean, Hayden knows. Rodder D knows. I mean, Chance knows how to ride a motorcycle. Right now, Chance is fighting that confidence, and he's getting that confidence every weekend. So you're going to start seeing his consistencies. He's going to be that guy that gets like a 10th, 15th place start and then starts moseying his way in the top five instead of having that 10th, 15th place and just kind of stay there. And in the second motor, he gets a start and he stays there. Chance is going to start rolling up through there because Chance is riding that good. And it's going to be Hayden Deegan and Chance Hymus. But watching him, he rode good. Tom Vial rode really well this weekend. First moto, he had some issues. Second moto, I actually thought like at one point he was closing in on Hunter. Hunter ain't worried about nobody right now. So especially those second moto, Hunter just knew what he had to do. But Tom Vial, this was a European star style track with all the ruts, and it was wet, it was hard, and it was slippery. I mean, it was set up for this kid, and this kid was able to ride up through, and he looked good. He's still feeling the effects from last weekend's crash. He's still feeling the effects of having been up there in that lead to actually lead races and know what it takes to win. But if you give him a couple races like how he had the second moto, Tom Vial will win a moto this year, guaranteed. The kid is riding that good, and he's still just getting his feet underneath. You always got to remember, as the day goes on, he'll get better. Like, he'll always get better at the end of the day. So those second motos, he is going to be better than he did all day. And that's because it's still taking him a little bit of time to get used to the program here, especially when you have mud practices like this, when you only get like two or three laps in a mud race, when it's really muddy. You got to believe he didn't have much time on that racetrack. And then the fact that the track changed every lap, but changed every practice significantly, like, it's not surprising that he rode better that second moto. I know the first one, he had his own incidents. I think he went down in the first corner or second corner, but he looked good second moto. So Tom Vial, Chance Hymus, those kids rode pretty well. And I do believe both of them will get a moto win. I just think Chance is starting to, we're going to see a transition in him to where you're going to be like, damn, like, where did he come from? You know, you could see the signs now. I mean, the dude, when he's rolling in the second motos and he's up in the start, does he look like a kid that does not belong? Or does he look like a kid that gets out there and is fast as hell and just haven't figured out how to do it? Kind of like what we saw Chase Sexton. It was like, all right, once he figured out how to do it, he was going to do it, and he was going to do it a lot. Well, that's what I see with Chance Hymus. His speed says he's there. His riding style says he's there. He's got all the tools, and that Honda looks good as hell. Everything's there. I think you're going to watch when this kid does win. This kid's going to be a force. He's going to be a force. So if I'm red, I'm Honda. Ooh, I'm feeling good. You can let go. Like, you can let go of your 450 Supercross champion and really not miss a beat. Not saying that's what you're doing, but the future is right there in Hymus, Lawrence, and that class is going to be stacked for a while. So Chance looked good. Tom looked good. Hayden looked good. But overall, you know what happens. We can say all these people look good, right? Like, they all look good. Like, damn, you know, Hayden was like, oh, nice bounce back from the first moto last weekend. You know, just cross jumping out there like EC Hammer. Dun, 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 dun. Like, you were doing all that crossing up. And then you were still like, but Joe Shimoda came up and he was like, look, Joe was still just there. And Joe was still there. And then all of a sudden, Joe just popped up. But, you know, Justin Cooper was riding tough, man. He was like 3-4 seconds faster. But it's always but. And Hunter Lawrence be like, that's all they see is my butt, because I be crossing checkered flag first. And what I be crossing and I be getting, and I know my brother be out there just slinging it. And everybody be like, damn, he just playing around. Damn, Hunter ain't playing around. He be like, look, mind control over these guys. And what he got mind control over is hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Neck burn. I'm tired of screaming it. I'm not even screaming. I don't even know how to get my neck burns, because it's just damn. I'll call it like the Lawrence burn. Damn, that's all y'all do is win. That's all you do is win. Good job, kid. You're looking really good. Good job, older brother, kid. I don't know. You just do what you do and you just win. I know you're the older brother in the young class, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Good job. The 450 class. Pretty simple, people. Pretty simple. We had German Chocolate came in here. Willy Wonka showed up this week out of the middle of nowhere. And before we all talk straight off the couch, you see how Ripken is. He ain't off the couch. The decision might have been last minute. He'd been watching it and be like, oh, you know what? I can do pretty good. But, you know, if he comes off the couch, I want one of those couches. I want one of those couches. Ken look good. But before that, I would say he is at a disadvantage, because the levels of where the HRC team, Honda, Kawasaki, and all these other teams compared to where his team is, there is a difference. And I'm speculating, so if anybody tells me I'm wrong, keep it to yourself. I just believe that the Suzuki team's in it for maybe a different reason than Honda. Honda's in there competing to win. I think Suzuki's in there competing to get their bike better, their team better. Kyle Chisholm's out there. And Ken's bike looked okay this weekend. But as I'll talk about in a second, I can point out a few things that I say there's a difference between just teams' resources, which is going to make it hard for Ken to compete, especially on a track like this. The fact that he was that close, came off the couch, hasn't been riding, just shows how good that kid is. But you couldn't ask for a perfect scenario if I'm Ken Roczen. It was cool. It was kind of wet. This track was technical as hell, and that's what I do. I ride in a low gear so I can kind of dumb down a little bit the transition of maybe where my bike isn't as good as Jed. I can kind of make up with that by the way I ride and how talented I am. It was a perfect scenario, but Ken came out here thinking that he could win. I do know that. I do know he came out here thinking he could win. I know what he said. If I get my ass waxed, I'll look in the mirror. He's going to look in the mirror and be like, damn, that boy looks pretty as hell. That's what he's going to do. But I know he didn't come in here thinking he was going to go like 10-10. That wasn't going to happen. So it was cool to see the German chocolate. And I think at this point, we all holding and pulling, wishing like somebody else gives Jet a run, because most of us and most people think that he's just playing around. There's different opinions about that. Some people play around. Some people play around a lot. There's different opinions, but I think we all wanted to find out how close to the edge this kid was on, and just whether he's just that good or does the field is kind of causing that. Well, I think we got a little bit of both. The kid is just that good. And we also saw that the field is a little bit weaker on the side, where meaning some of the guys are out. And before I say it's weaker, I thought Ty Masterpool rode great last weekend. I thought if whoever was there, maybe outside of Eli Tomac and maybe even Chase Sexton, that Ty was going to be where Ty was last weekend. But coming back in this weekend, that was going to change up a little bit. I think the guys that are racing are fast. They're good. It's just when I mean deeper, yeah, you'll have the nuances of Eli Tomac goes beast mode. I think if Eli Tomac was racing, I don't know if Jet would have caught him that second moto. Don't know. Chase Sexton, I don't know if Jet would have caught him that second moto unless Chase would have fell, and that could have happened. I just think the people that Jet would have still had to pass would have been deeper, which slows him down, which allows German Chocolate to get farther out. That's where I'm saying that the field needs, it's a little bit weaker, not necessarily that these guys are going just slow as hell. You know, Jet is still riding at an unbelievable level. He's riding just as fast that he's comfortable riding without putting himself in risk. And he was in risk a lot this weekend. Dude fell more this weekend than he has all year long. And I had to say, track was a little bit of that. Some of the things that I've kind of been seeing that I'm like, look, it's not as easy as what people think. That's a part of that. And the fact that, you know, German Chocolate was there, you had to think that you don't want, like my day is Cody Cooper comes in and ends your streak. And that's what Ken Roczen or Mark DeRuver back in Southwick comes out of nowhere off the damn couch and comes in and just beats JS. Makes you nervous. Makes you nervous. Makes you ride different. So all that being said, I believe a lot of those things were going. Jet didn't have the flow. Jet didn't feel the flow. So if you think guys that feel good in that situation, like an Eli Tomac, Justin Barsha, those guys aren't here. But you had to think there's possibility of that not happening. Even if he had to come up through those to get the German Chocolate, might have been difficult. So who knows what happened. But all that being said, none of that happened because he was able to still come up, even though there were some mistakes. As I said, there was a part of that second moto where Jet was riding, and Ken was riding good. Like, he was riding at a pace that, as we've seen, let's just take today, this race, Jet struggled all day long. Jet even came on the podium and said he just didn't have the flow.
Yeah, my balance was being a little off today. And there, this, like, I got a little cross ride, try wheeling my way out of it, and I'm just biting me out.
Well, I think there was a point in that second moto, and if you look at this lap times, I think it was around like lap six, seven, eight. Jet decided, look, I'm business decision. I'm just going to take second place. I don't want to do it. I've struggled all day long. I've tried coming up. Ken's riding at a pace that allowed me like an hour ago, I can hit the ground. Now, whether you can say that was from him putting pressure on me or whatever. I just think that if he wasn't here, I probably wouldn't have fell in that spot. The practice falls, I would have fell no matter who was there. Like I lost the front end. I just fell a couple times falling over the corners. That just happens. But that particular spot, I'm charging because like this dude's coming. So I'm going to take that chance here. And as all year long, I don't take those chances because I know the guys behind me don't make me have to take those chances. So I'm going to take my time through here and then just go faster somewhere else. Well, today I had to go faster in a spot that I didn't like to go faster and it bit me. So the second moto, lap 6, 7, 8, these were the times where I think he was taking those chances and he was like, dude, if he rides like this, German Chocks is going to win. I know at the end of the day, I'm still going to have my undefeated season because, yeah, I might not have perfect motos, but I'm still going to win this overall. Kickstart Kenny was still kicking his bike. So I got that on lock and I'm business. I'm staying here. Well, when I did that, then all of a sudden German Chocolate started coming back to me. So I decided, you know, do a little jet speed, little hit it, that, go a little bit faster. And if you look at those lap times, people, just go down from like 6 to 8 between both of those. That's your race. Jet started running at 219 and he ran like 216, 217, whatever. And then all of a sudden he went to 219, and Cole's pulling up for me from lap 5 to like 8. You could tell there was a point where he goes 219 lap 4. Then he's got to catch Kenny. So he goes 214, 216, 217, 217. Like he's trying to catch Kenny. And then he realizes like, damn, dude, Kenny's like rolling. Can't see Kenny's lap time right now, but Kenny was keeping that gap to a point to where Jet was like, look, he had to make a decision. So Kenny's matching Jet, even though that 214 was 3 seconds faster. Then Kenny runs a 216. Damn, that's faster than what I just ran on lap 6. 217, 218, that's too damn close. And then so Jet goes down to 219, 219. I think from going to 214s, 216s, being in that position where you give it all, and probably that 214 Jet ran probably was sketchy as hell. He's like, I ain't doing that again. 216 is probably a little bit more comfortable at my pace. So I'll run that. Well, 216 ain't going to get it done when Kenny runs the 216 itself. And the 217 is probably a little bit more safer, but that ain't going to get it done because I ain't making that much time because that was like 10 seconds. So Jet decides, look, it is what it is. I'm going 219s. Well, Kenny decides to run. The 218s were fine when Jet was in those 219s because he was still pulling away. Kenny starts to go with 220 and 221. Jet realizes that. He's like, all right, I backed it down to a level where I just 3 laps ago, I ran almost 5 seconds faster. I don't want to run that pace. And then I ran 3 seconds faster. I don't like that pace either. Well, now I'm just going to ride it in. And then homeboy is going to ride it in too. And he's doing 220s, 221s. Jet goes down to 216, which when you look at Kenny's lap time, it goes from a 216, 220s, 220. And Jet hits you with that 216. Well, 4 seconds on the track like that is a big gap. And Kenny tries his best to run down to 218. But a lot of numbers, people, might not make sense. But I can tell you what happens. Jet goes fast. Jet's like, all right, I'm hitting with 214. I know I'm coming. I made a pretty good gap. Damn, that was sketchy. All right, I'm going to hit him with a 216. I feel better there. Damn, that's still kind of sketchy. Roxanne's like, I can't let him get that damn close. So I'm going to go that fast. Roxanne's like, daddy can't run that pace. Jet says, I'm done. All these things that's going in both these riders' head, like they start racing against each other, not even racing the track. They start racing against lap times. And Kenny realizes, look, I can't run this pace. Jet realizes I can't go this fast without hitting the ground. And then one of them has to give up. And not saying Kenny gave up, but Kenny allowed Jet to see him run a 221 on that. And Jet feels like I can do 219s all day long. And then he goes to 216. And at that point, you can't make that difference up. Kenny can't drop down and go that much faster, even though he tried. And that's why you saw Jet like stay the same for a while. They were battling. Then all of a sudden, Jet closes down on him. And then Kenny, when they get there and makes a pass, that's why Kenny stays there because it's like, look, I only got 4 or 5 laps to go. I'm going to try my best. Maybe Jet will fall. So it wasn't necessarily a pace with Kenny that he couldn't run the speed. It was just how long he can run that. And the business decision between both of them had to make. Jet's in it for the championship. Jet wants to win that race. And I believe the whole point of what I was making in the beginning was when you look at their teams, the bike setup, there's a point around this racetrack where if you just watch Roxanne's bike and Jet's bike, the traction that Honda's figured out how to get that motorcycle to ride around that race traction is second to none. The bike tracks like no other. It tracks. And look at the slower corners, or even the corners that in the back where you have the drop down, where there was a lot of pass, where actually where Jet got Roczen was when he goes around the outside. If you look at the way Kenny's bike is and it's spinning up there, and even Jet's bike, Jet is always moving forward. And it looks like if it was anybody else that was racing besides Kenny, I'd be like, well, they just ride in a taller gear. Well, we know all how German Chocolate rides. He rides in that, but just like Jet, they ride the same. You can barely hear their motorcycles, and Kenny's phenomenal at doing that. So when I see his bike spinning up, it makes me wake up, because I'm like, damn, that kid does not ride that way compared to maybe Justin Barcia. So look at Jet's bike and how much easier it is to ride around the whole racetrack. And as I say, it's easier. I just think it's all the hard work that that team's put in that bike to make it ride like that. Jet's talent helps him ride like that. And that's why I said earlier, a couple weeks ago, I think we're starting to see the best of Jet Lawrence. And that this 450 suits this brother better than that 250 ever did. And even though he's a rookie, he looks way more veteranized, you would say, than anything. And I think it's all cause of this bike. We just believe, I haven't seen Jet be near anybody to be able to tell those differences. So having German Chocolate up there and watching him ride, just pay attention, people. Like when they get in those corners, look at the first 15 feet when they get out of it. Like soon as Kenny gets on the gas and he starts moving forward, look how much his rear tire's up in the air, like his how much gaps in between his rear tire and fender compared to Jet. Jet's going this way. You can see Kenny's bike move in, especially right up the off camera right before you go up to the finish line. Right there, coming out of that, Jet's moving forward. And that's the difference that I say as a team-wise. You have Honda, like they're out there, they're putting all this resources. I'm not saying that Larry Brooks and Suzuki's not, but there's different levels to this. Well, Honda's put it in there just like every other team they've been racing. So they have all this data and they've been practicing for this moment. And you saw that full tilt this weekend. And the reason you saw that, because somebody was actually close to Jet and made him have to ride. And you can see those nuances where Kenny is that good to make Jet have to ride. And you can see the difference between his bike. So traction, I don't know what they did or how they did it, but them boys know what they're doing over there. And I believe if we saw a Kawasaki, if Kenny was racing the Kawasaki, it'd be that same way too, just different levels. And that was a big emphasis of why I believe Jet was still able to get around Kenny, and Kenny had a hard time. He had to go compete against that as well. So nonetheless, German Chocolate did an amazing job. It was cool to watch him come out there, and the kid's got damn talent. I want one of those couches. Kenny, give me that couch. So overall, all that is dictated because Jet is so damn good. And even though Jet was assigned, look, I'll figure out another moto. Roczen opened that door. Jet kicked that bitch in and came up and made that pass and just rode off and did what Jet did and just won. So it was good to see. I think Jet learned a lot this weekend. I think Roczen being at the race is going to make Jet a better racer. And I'm not going to sit here and say, well, if this guy was here, this guy would have beat him. Because if that guy was there, he might still get beat. I just know things would have been different because Jet would have had to pass more Roczens. He'd have passed more Dylan Ferrandises if all the guys were deep in the field. And Ty Masterpool wasn't as on his form as he was last weekend. So it was just a different scenario. Adam Cincirillo rode really good. AC was phenomenal. I thought this was the best I've seen him ride. Ever? Really? Ever in 450? AC, you ride like that, bro, you're going to have victories. I ain't going to lie. Dude was there. Like, dude was riding good. And it wasn't that AC was going faster, which he was going faster, but AC looked like he was there to fight. And I don't know why or what happened between last weekend and this weekend, because the track was sketchy as hell. And if you know Jet's falling, then it must be pretty damn hard. So I can't say that the track was just easy and it was a lot different from last weekend. No, I mean, they both had these gnarly ruts. I think last weekend's track was maybe a little bit more sketchier because the ruts got hard. But as the day got worse, and you consider what AC's been feeling and dealing with all year with the arm, I just didn't see this one coming, or in the sense of like, I don't know what happened. I can't say that the track is why AC rode good, which is a good thing for AC, because if I can't see it, then maybe he knows what it is. And whatever that is, I just know it ain't dictated off that racetrack. His bike has looked pretty damn good all year. I think AC is starting to feel like AC himself, which is a good thing. So AC, keep it up, dude. You've been riding like solid all year. I said it last weekend when you were battling with Master Pole, he was riding damn good, that you were riding really well. And this weekend, I would say German Chocolate was doing what he did. Of course, kid's good, but you rode solid, kid. Like, you rode good. And if you ride like that, you are going to win. If Ferrandis rides like he did the last half of that moto, maybe he's going to have more people betting on him this weekend, you know, for the NXTsBet.com/JS7. Maybe he'll do that because Ferrandis came out of there. But if not, you know, it was good to see him. When you watch Mark Spinks ride, his lankiness and the kid's talented. And I didn't realize how young Tom Aspinall is. Kid's got a future still. But the way he rides like a Travis Preston. His legs, this track set up well for him. Last weekend set up well for him. The 450 will set up well for him. Ty rides like a privateer. And I don't want that to be a negative, but Ty rides like a privateer. So I can see March Bank being more consistent throughout the whole year, even though he's a privateer. And even though I would say that Club MX Yamaha team, that's Yamaha's, I guess, second pride of joy besides their factory team. Like, they get stuff. I don't know how much they put in work on the 450, but considering that nobody's there on the 450, I'm sure Yamaha has some influence on him going up. Marchbank, that is. But you're going to see Garrett be more consistent all year long, where I do think tracks, and even though Ty wrote probably just like he wrote last weekend, I would actually probably say Ty probably himself wrote better this weekend than he did last weekend. More confidence, believing that he could be there. But a difference between last weekend's track and this weekend's track was the mud. This weekend's track was somewhat similar to last weekend as far as how those long ruts had the slower speed, bike moves. The mud on the bike keeps that thing down. So it almost eliminates the fact that what Ty had last weekend, being able to ride and the bike being a little bit softer, this, the mud being on his bike, the weight on his bike, and the reason this soil was sticky in the ruts, even though it had hard base, was pulling Ty's bike down. So he was riding, he wasn't able to ride in that spot as much as he could last weekend, because if you remember last weekend, it was in the slower parts of the racetracks that he was good. When he got high speed, and this is where I say that the factory suspension is better. When you get in those high speed circumstances, factory suspension is way better. It holds up. That's why the thing is rigid, but it keeps you from bottoming out. Well, this track was eliminating that part. It was making it more like he was riding in those high speed situations last weekend, not because of speed, but because how much weight the soil was pulling down on his bike. So it eliminated the fact that bike moving and being soft, which was more of a negative this weekend. That's why Ty didn't ride as good as he did, or didn't finish as good as he did last weekend. Those are the differences on the track, even though they both were slow and they both was in a similar track setup, was a big difference. Garrett Marchbanks he's a privateer, but the kid rides different. The kid rides mud really well. So it's not surprising he rode like he did the first moto. And then he has the issues where actually he pulled in the mechanics there. He didn't get waxed the second moto. He pulled in the mechanics there, had some tear off, chilling, and then still came up. Garrett's going to be more consistent throughout the year, where I think Ty be dictated on tracks. It's different. But just like his brother, we always say, damn, Kenny came off the couch and Kenny almost had him. But AC rode better than he did all year long. Dude, AC was rolling. But Dylan Ferrandis was coming out there and he was like way back there. And all of a sudden we were like, damn, Kenny's charging to the finish line. The next thing you know, you see that blue 14 with a JS looking Yamaha. That damn thing's like choppered out. It seems like he's getting more choppered out. And Dylan, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think that's going to work. I know what you're trying to do, but I don't think that works on that bike. I think you're going to end up getting a situation where it's going to make it worse. So, but I saw that 14 coming in there, but it was all these buts, because they get close and no matter who shows up or who doesn't show up and who's here and who's not here, it's always going to be a butt, because this kid just be whooping that thing. Exactly. He whooping that butt. And what he gets again this weekend, Cole, hit it for him.
Suntan, next on fire.
I know you fell, Jet. I know you got a neck burn, just like your brother got a neck burn. And I know JS said, like, damn, his brother looks just as good, dominant. Just brother got better round style, whatever. I want more races, let more laps. So I'm more dominant. I'm just playing with these cats. And so I know you had a rough weekend this weekend, but it doesn't matter because this weekend ended up just like every other weekend. And that weekend ended up with you winning and signing that number one plate. Getting number one plate for Johnny O. New. He's like, damn, yeah, hey, you know, you're getting there close. Jet, keep it up, kid. Dominant. German Chocolate comes off the couch. Bam! Kick him. They're like, look, just playing. I decided to go fast when I decided to go fast. Whatever you want to say. Keep it up. All right, people, you know what time it is. Enough of that. Jet Lawrence, congratulations. Hunter Lawrence, congratulations. Joe Shimoto still trying to pass that cat, and then he still shows up. Danger Boy still dangerous as hell. You know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Stews and Stews. We'll be right back.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line or pin it wide open, as long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
What's up, guys? You know it is your boy JS7, and as before, I'm proud to continue my sponsorship with AG1. I've been taking it for a while. I've noticed the difference. I feel better. I wasn't at the race this weekend, but I feel good. I was able to not take my travel packs. I was able to use the home pack. So the way I've been taking it, I wake up in the morning, hit my scoop in some water, drop my little droppers in there, and chug it. As again, I've always had to take my travel packs, but this weekend I didn't have to do it, so I just continued my normal routine. But as you guys know, it is super easy. There's no excuses. Just scoop it in, drip it, and chug it. The reason I take it, it just helps my energy. I feel like I feel better. I don't feel as weighed down. My gut feels better. My energy levels feel better. And I gotta chase these kids around the house, so everything, I need everything firing like normal, and this stuff does it for me. Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Make sure you go to athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World. Did you hear me? athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World to get yours. And then you can look as good as me. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Oakley, Stewed, and Stewed. All right, first, as we always do, a Stew. Guy that no matter who shows up, you still get it done. No matter how many times you fall, you still get it done. No matter how many people be like, look, he's coming back. He got a couch. He's got a beautiful couch. You still get it done. That's the definition of a Stew. Just no matter how much stuff goes, just unstoppable. It's unstewable. First, Hunter Lawrence. Just like last weekend, of course, we talked about you first, so we can let you go. Sometimes the older brother needs to go first. Somehow the older bear is sweeter than juice. You're black of the bear is sweeter than juice. I don't know, but you know what it is. Hunter Lawrence, you are still riding phenomenal, dominant. Just know it's going to happen. Your style's impeccable. Like Mike Tyson, I'm going to eat your children. I might not be a Stew. I haven't been anybody, but hell, whatever. You just Stew. Hunter Lawrence. Just made it look easy. Kids riding good. You a Stew. Now, your brother, Jet Lawrence, you a Stew. I don't need to say that much about you, but you had trouble. You had trouble this weekend. It was tough on you. You fell over. You got up. You fell over. I thought you flipped numbers. I thought it was number 28. I don't know. You were just having some issues. Was that because of German Chocolate and Willy Wonka factory coming? I don't know. Who knows? But at the end of the day, you showed up when you had to. And you was going to be like, look, I'll just let him have it. Then you say, I ain't going to let him have it. And then German Chocolate said, I almost had it. But then he knew he wasn't going to get it. And that's the definition of the Stew, which is exactly what you is, Jet Lawrence. You a Stew. Because no matter how many people they send, or how many guns and all this blazing, anybody can come off the couch, they still going to get second to me. And that's the definition of stew. So Jet Lawrence, you are. And I'm going to have to give my German chocolate a stew. You just came off the couch, per se, what they say. And as JS says, I want one of those couches. Damn, like if it's that easy, where you get it? You know, like, what was it? Bitch on layaway or something? Like, where do you get it from? Home Goods? I don't know. Amazon? Look, people, look, don't buy anything unless you see 30 days or less. Lowest price in 30 days. That's my shopping. Amazon? I don't know. But whatever that couch is, German chocolate, was good to see you back. I hope this brings you back for some more, because I know you ride Sam pretty damn good as well. And I know you like Red Bud. Red Bud, what up, people? Your boy will be back. I missed y'all this weekend, but Ricky held it down. He did good. He did what he does. That's why he's a goat, whatever. And I'll be back next weekend. German chocolate, I hope I get to call your race and see if we can do something, because that's one of the best tracks of the year. So you with Stu, little Johnny told you, you want to go on the boat, you want to go? He's like, damn, daddy, you see this kid? This kid's born. I don't want to see my daddy get out there and wax, 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 wax that ass out there. And daddy tried. But daddy was, look, couch ran out of like legs, I don't know. But Ken Roxon, you with Stu, good to see you back. So that's my list, people. I'm going to keep it short and simple, which that was not short and definitely not simple. But those are my three stews, both Lawrence's and the German chocolate. All right, my next list, Stu. Pissed off. Pissed off because you did come off the couch. Pissed off because you're like, damn, I thought I was there. Damn, I had to ride like 30 plus two twice up in this thing. Like, I was coming out here just to go like 5-5. You know you lying. You ain't going to do that. I came out here. I didn't think I was going to be having to keep this dude so damn close. Like, I didn't know I had to actually race. I thought Jet was going to be gone. And then I was going to be able to just battle and be like, damn, that Kenny came back. And like, oh, he was good. You could tell he's a little rusty. But nah, that's not what happened. You came back and you out there winning that damn thing, going faster than practice. So I know you a little bit, Stu, because maybe you were planning on going back and riding the boat. Little Johnny, like, next time you say that, I ain't listening to you. But nah, you had to show up and ride. You had to ride all the way to the finish, because even that Fernandez dude came up on you. They wanted a piece of you. So, Stu, my first list and my only people on this list is you. All y'all. Y'all gonna be stewed. Why? Because I can't give away no goggles, because all y'all was wrong. And I ain't even gonna say I was wrong, because I wasn't in the competition. You can't even ask me what my picks is. I'm the one that's leading this competition, and no one got it right. No one. We said last weekend, hey, pick the top three in both classes of the fastest speed. I didn't want to go with the just winner, because hey, look, RJ, you could wait. Wait, what, Cole? What are you doing, dude?
We didn't say both classes. We said just 250.
That's right. Now I'm pissed because I'm wrong in my own segment. I said, and I messed this up last weekend, pick the top three in both motos in the 250 class, first, second, and third in speed, overall time, fastest laps. And none of y'all got them right. Who was the list? Who won?
So moto one was RJ. Deegan, Hunter, and the Moto 2 was Hunter, Vial, and Joe.
I mean, really, people? Is it that hard? I mean, I'm not even going to say what I would have done, because, you know, I might be stupid, but this is yours. This was for yours. So, y'all, Stu, because y'all didn't get it. And y'all didn't get it, that gut dang RJ, man. He's always doing what RJ does. How can RJ be the fastest? And then he finished where he finished second moto, and RJ just be doing what RJ does. But it ain't surprising, because RJ's fast as hell. But he done blew it up. Even Tom Vial, like, hey, you know, kind of European track. I'm sure y'all missed that one as well. But nonetheless, y'all didn't get it. So y'all stewed. So I don't know if Cole didn't tell me about this weekend's prediction. Oh, you know what? Y'all definitely going to be stewed, because we ain't racing. So that's it, people. The riders ain't stewed, because everybody got out of there healthy. And look, y'all know who the stews are. So look, until next time, y'all going to have to wait. But that was it from this list. So my stews, Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence, and the German chocolate came out. Can he come back? Little Johnny, tell him he can go on a boat this weekend. Daddy's going to be racing in Red Bud next weekend. And then y'all stews. I mean, how y'all can't get that list right? I mean, it's damn simple. It's simple. I actually had extra goggles because I thought many people would get it right. But you know what? Until next time, maybe y'all can do it then. All right, people, that was it from round four. Where you saw, again, just like the round previous three, you had Lawrence brothers. They were a little bit more action, but not enough action. Got a little closer, but it wasn't close enough because those guys did what they did. We had the German chocolate sighting. Germany. It's an Australian, you might as well call it an Australian series. It's overseas. It is a World Series. But that was it from round four at High Point, round 21, where, again, you saw who you saw. And until then, y'all will see me next time. And I can't believe those people didn't get it right.